Great to be with you, brothers and sisters, this evening as we celebrate the solemnity of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. This solemnity is all about the virtue of hope, because we know through the example of the Blessed Virgin Mother that you and I are meant for eternal life. Jesus, of course, ascended into heaven, body and soul, right, as God. But Mary is not God. Mary is not divine. She's a human being, and only a human being, just like you and me. And the fact that Mary was assumed into heaven gives you and me hope for eternal life in a new and profound way. Now, that may not be news to you, shocking news, but we celebrate that very powerfully on this solemnity of the Assumption of the Blessed Mother. When I was in the Holy Land a few years ago, before I was a priest, I was a deacon, and my class went over there, and we had our retreat over there. Went to this place called Dormition Abbey. If you ever get a chance to go to the Holy Land, it's a beautiful place to visit. And Dormition Abbey, comes from this understanding of deep sleep. And it's the traditional place that it's said where Mary went into the deep sleep before being assumed into heaven. And there's a bit of a question as far as whether Mary actually died or not. But rather, this deep sleep is offered as the in-between reason. That's very likely that Mary did not experience death, because what makes death painful for you and me is that sin part, what St. Paul is talking about, that separation of our body and our soul, that our body remains here while our soul goes before the judgment seat of Christ. And until Jesus comes back again in his glory, our body remains here until he raises it up again. But that's not the case with the Blessed Mother. And the reason that's not the case with the Blessed Mother is because of the merits of Jesus Christ sacrificed on the cross preemptively for her in her Immaculate Conception. She was spared from all sin by the merits of Christ, not her own power, but by Christ. She received that preemptively. You and I receive that as a remedy after already having gotten sick. And so because Mary did not taste sin in this life, did not experience that, it's most likely she would not have died in the same way that you and I will die. Because she did not experience that separation of her body and soul in the way that you and I will need to experience. And she was assumed into eternal life after experiencing that deep sleep, the dormition, gathered around the apostles who had not been martyred yet. And that's what's down in that crypt of Dormition Abbey, is this beautiful place where you can kneel around the image of our Blessed Mother laying in her deep sleep and praying that we may have the hope in our heart, be filled with that hope and faith of eternal life that this example before us shows to us. I love typology. Typology says that everything in the Old Testament, some way, shape, or form, represents Jesus Christ in our salvation, the New Testament. The New Testament informs and fulfills the Old, and the Old Testament is hidden in the New. And one of those ways that it's hidden comes from our Psalm 45. And it comes to an understanding of the Queen stands at the right hand of God, arrayed in gold. Stands at the right hand of the King, arrayed in gold. And that foreshadows, that represents the Blessed Mother as the Queen of heaven and earth. Because God put her there. Not because she picked that all on her own. Because God made that choice to have her in that place. Second to God himself. It's quite incredible. And in the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, there was this very powerful relationship that the King had with his mother. She was called the Queen Mother. And the Queen Mother's throne literally sat at the right hand of the King. And it was well known that if you wanted to get to the King most efficiently, most directly, you went to the Queen Mother. And the Queen Mother was only one, right? The King only had one mother, many wives, but one mother. That's why she had a unique place. And so people would come to her and try to get an audience with the King, and so she would help make that happen. So much more powerfully, the Blessed Mother fulfills that. God fulfills that in the New Covenant, the New Testament. Mary sitting at the right hand of God, second to God himself, the Queen Mother of Christ. And we bring our intentions before the Queen Mother to bring to the heart of her Son. And Mary does that for you and I very powerfully, whispers those intentions into the heart of her son. And then she does that, and then she turns to you and me and says, do whatever he tells you, just as she said at the wedding feast of Cana. She doesn't force God's hand in any way, shape, or form. She simply brings our intentions as her beloved children, the sons and daughters of God, and says to you and me, do whatever he tells you, because what Jesus wants to do is what's going to be best for you. Mary knew that well, and she lived out the gospel powerfully. And Jesus is really talking about Mary in this gospel. You know, it seems the opposite, right? Jesus says, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it, keep it, live it out. And who did that best in this life more than anyone else? The Blessed Mother. She set that model, that example of how to do that well, of how to be that Queen Mother well, of how to lead you and me to the heart of Christ well. And so we celebrate today very powerfully, and we're filled with great hope that you and I will receive and offered to us the gift of eternal life. That we want to live our life in this world so as to come to eternal life, to let God help shed away from us all of our sins, all of our attachments to anything or anyone that we put in place of God. Because those things will keep us out of heaven if unrepented of. And so we want to let the Lord purify us, our hearts, from any of those attachments, and to seek the joy of relationship with God, and to seek the joy of eternal life, that joy that the Blessed Mother knew well, that gift that Mary prays for you and me constantly to receive, to focus on in our life, because she wants us to be in heaven and experiencing the glory of the Trinity as she does every single day. And so she and all the saints and the angels are praying for that for us. But like Mary, we still have to say yes with a free heart. And you and I have been given that gift of freedom. And Mary was asked that question once upon a time, will you be the mother of God? And she said yes with a free and generous heart. God didn't force her into that. She said yes because she wanted to say yes. Do you and I say yes with the same generous heart to the invitation of God every day to love as he does, to spend time with him in prayer, to put God first in our heart above everyone and all things? Because that's when we're filled with joy. That's when we can truly love our neighbor as ourselves. That's when we remember the gift of eternal life that we're offered and the hope that is truly there for us, no matter what this world throws at us. Let this solemnity of the Assumption fill your heart and mind with that same hope, with that same generous yes that Mary gave to God, and to bring your petitions to Mary to whisper into the heart of her son, and to listen to his response, her response back to us, do whatever he tells you, and to listen to whatever that he tells you is, and to say yes with that generous heart. That's what Mary teaches us. That's what we celebrate and so many other things on the solemnity. Let us say yes with that hope and faith that the Lord gives to us as a gift.